This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Don't stop.
With guest host Andrew Siciliano, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Rich, you are the sexiest man of the year. Now
you don't have to be. Don't twist. You don't have to have your arm twisted.
Rich Eisen, today's guests: NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Ravens safety Geno Stone, Texans running back Dare Ogunbowale, comedian Adam Ray, and now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
Do I also have to call the host sexy when he joins us in 20 minutes? Is that part of the job description?
I don't think so.
I saw that you guys made up a Sexiest Man Alive cover, People Magazine cover, fake cover, like Trump has Man of the Year cover hanging at Mar-a-Lago for Rich. Did you guys make one for me, too?
I think we ran out of time. Monday, okay. We'll have some for you.
Thank you.
I felt left out, too.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, Felly. Yeah.
It's a Friday. Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show. My name is Andrew. I am back today after Susie so masterfully steered this ship the last couple of days. You get me today and Monday before Rich is back from Germany. But Rich is in Germany as we speak, I'm told, at Bernard Reimann's practice and the Colts as well. Bernard Reimann, the big Austrian, playing in Germany for the Indianapolis Colts. Rich live from Colts practice coming up in 20 minutes as it's the Colts and the Patriots. NFL Network, NFL Plus, plus.nfl.com coming up Sunday. We got a big show, as you just heard.
Big show.
Not only Rich, Tom Pelissero joins us in an hour. How hot is Frank Reich's seat? Yes, it might be time to have that conversation. The man who leads the NFL in interceptions. Quick show of hands if you're listening right now in the car, if you know who leads the NFL in interceptions. Actually, don't do that. Two hands on the wheel.
Yeah, that's not safe, Andrew. Come on, man.
His name is Geno Stone. He plays for the Ravens. He's got a cool story. Geno Stone, ahead of the Ravens' big game, but the Browns coming up in Baltimore, will join us from Owings Mills. The best kicker in the NFL. Texans running back Dare Ogunbowale is going to join us from Houston after hitting that clutch fourth quarter field goal last week in their big win over the Buccaneers. And then prepare to laugh. The comedic stylings of Seahawks fan Adam Ray.
Let's go.
He will be here in studio. Let's go say hi to Chris Brockman, to Jason. Jason, you don't wave, man. Chris is like waving.
You don't know Jason's last name. Jason Feller.
I have no idea what Jason's last name is, despite the fact that I asked exactly 72 hours ago when we did this whole introductory bit on Tuesday. I do not know. And TJ Jefferson. I do know that. Good to see you, sir.
What up?
Today is a day as we get ready for a huge college football weekend and NFL weekend. Today is a day where there could be breaking news during the show. There is a thought that the Big Ten may hand down discipline, some kind of decision, something, anything, on Michigan and Jim Harbaugh as they get ready for their toughest test of the year to date in Happy Valley against one-loss Penn State. Jim Harbaugh's attorney tells Pete Thamel, friend of the program, that Jim's getting on that plane one way or the other. He is flying to Happy Valley, and it's one-room airport. He is going there. So we could have a stare-down. The Michigan folks say, give us due process. The rest of the Big Ten says, wait a minute. Like, if there's a mountain of evidence, why should we wait? The NCAA takes years and years and years and years and years and then just makes something up. So if you have the evidence, the rest of the conference says, do it now. Michigan says, I know you are, but what am I? You guys are cheating cheaters too. As a matter of fact, you tried to help Purdue beat us in the Big Ten championship game last year, and we have evidence. And we think Ohio State did it. There's also this from some Michigan corners. I can't believe you told other people that we were cheating. It's like, shoot the Ohio State messenger. You told on us. I love that. And I don't mean just from Michigan. I just mean in general. I can't believe that guy had the audacity to tell you that I was cheating. He's the bad guy. Anyway, we can figure it out when it happens. I'm just warning you, it may happen during this show. I'll be honest as well with this point. I'm always honest. What a bogus preface. I'll be honest. What does that mean? Is it suggesting that when you don't say it, you're not being honest? It's a crutch. I'm trying to get that crutch out of my everyday speech. Where was I? I'm kind of leaning. I think Harbaugh did do something. I truly think that the total deniability thing is kind of comical. But I also think there is something to be said for everybody is doing something. He might just be doing it better than everyone else. Anyway, I digress. Let's get to the NFL. There was a game last night that was played.
There was?
There was a football game last night that was played. The Bears of Chicago beat the Panthers of Carolina 16-13. NFL Network often puts something up on the Twitter before, hey, here's how all our talking heads think the game will go. Daniel Jeremiah, friend of the program, picked 13-13. And when somebody clapped back at him on Twitter, how could you possibly do that? He wrote back, because I've seen both teams play. Well, almost. He almost got it. It was 16-13 Bears. And it would have been 16-16, and we would have gone to overtime. And inevitably, it would have been a 16-16 tie at the end of overtime.
Absolutely.
If the Panthers hadn't mismanaged play calling and the clock a bit, really play calling more than the clock, and settled on a cold night for Eddie Pinheiro attempting to kick a rock 59 yards through the uprights. And it didn't work, and the Bears survived, even though they inexplicably, on 3rd and 7, had that kid right there, Tyson Bagent, throw the ball rather than just milk more time leading up to a punt if they didn't run for 7. And Luke Gutsy had him throw, and Darnell Mooney caught it. Anyway, the Bears win. And because the Bears win, they move Carolina now to the number one overall pick. We're halfway through the season, but if the season were to end today, we'd all be disappointed. But the Bears wouldn't, because they would hold the number one overall pick. Mm. Plus their own pick, which is like 3 or 4. 5, says Michael Hoskins. Here it is. So the Bears would have 1 and 5 if they picked right now. What a fascinating list there is.
Pretty good.
The Cardinals, the Giants at 3, the Patriots at 4, the Rams at 6. The Rams at 6. I don't think they're going to be at 6 when all is said and done. But the Packers at 7. The Bucks at 8.
Who's moving up? Who's going to number 1?
Oh, I think the Panthers will be number 1.
But it's going to be the Bears pick. So who's going to trade up with Chicago?
Well, I think they keep it.
And do what with it?
And take a quarterback. I think Justin Fields, let's say he comes back next week, and all indications are he will be back next week, has a 7-game audition, kind of for the Bears, but really for trade value. If you have the number one pick and you could choose between Caleb Williams, who everyone just assumes is the pick, or Drake May, which many people will tell you, as down the stretch we come, is on the outside and is kicking, you start the quarterback clock again. You cut your quarterback salary down to 0, not really 0, but controllable. You start your clock again. And that's what I think the Bears would do. So Justin Fields has 7 games to figure it out. And look, maybe he goes lights out and the Bears have an easy answer. It's Justin Fields. And then we could sell off that pick and use all those picks to build around him. Maybe that happens. I like Justin. I hope it does. I just think that's not the likely scenario, but that's why we have the next 2 months. Matt Eberflus was interesting last night. This after yesterday, he said Fields was doubtful, but he's out. And that made no sense, and he tried to explain it. Tyson Bagent won the game. But listen to what Eberflus said to Kaylee Hartung on Prime at the half.
Tyson Bagent looked his best on that last drive of the half, but what does he need to do to get in the end zone?
Yeah, he really did a nice job on that last drive, as you said, and we're excited about this second half. We got some things up our sleeves, so.
We have some things up our sleeves. Now,
okay.
The people at Prime loved him. Al loved him. Heck yeah. Get people to stick around. We might have some. We might have the Stanford band on the field. Like we, yeah, we're going to have tomfoolery and hijinks here. You know, double reverse, triple pass, flea flicker, hook and ladder. What do you want? Let's go.
Anything, baby.
Didn't happen. Bears went 3-and-out right there out of the gate in the third quarter. But the Bears won, which led to this exchange on the podium after the victory.
Did we see what was up your sleeve? Did you use it? Or
I don't know. What's up yours?
You got me there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the first question was, hey, you told the broadcast that you had something up your sleeve. What happened? Did you just not get to it? Yeah, you know, we didn't get to it, but, you know, we had some stuff.
Abracadabra.
And then the follow-up there you heard was, well, can we see what was up your sleeve? No, what's up yours?
Makes sense.
I was just going to say that. Well done.
And then he realized, you could tell, the look on his face is, oh, that came out funny, didn't it? So, yeah, the Bears win. They're 3-7.
Very genuine laugh, Andrew.
I mean, what are they? I was getting ready for bed last night. The game's over. I'm like, all right, I'm good. Let's find something on Netflix. And But I get a notification on my phone anytime an NFL team puts a live press conference up. Okay? So I get the notification. You know what? I'll see Eberflus. See if he has anything to say. Like, always thinking ahead for the show tomorrow. Right? Anything to say about Justin Fields? Anything to say about Tyson Bagent? Anything. And he has that exchange as I'm brushing my teeth. And it was kind of like, whatever. You get it. I was giggling. No, what's up yours? Okay. Anyway, you snorted.
I'm laughing at you, finding it so amusing.
It was funny. Kara Henderson and I, many years ago when we did NFL Total Access. Now, Kara Sneed. We did a segment that made me snort. Because every now and then we would make each other laugh, and that would make us snort. Anyway, okay, let's get to the Carolina side of things, because it's bad. There's no other way to say it. It's bad. And it doesn't help that C.J. Stroud is lighting it up while Bryce Young is not. They don't have a lot around him. In the last year, they have traded Christian McCaffrey and D.J. Moore, their best two offensive weapons, you could argue, that they've had in the last decade. I don't know if that overlaps with Steve Smith's time. I don't think it does, but you get my point. The last 5 years, their best two offensive weapons, Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore, are gone. It made sense to trade Christian McCaffrey. You're rebuilding, although Matt Rhule didn't necessarily think he was at the time, but we're paying a running back $16 million. We're not going anywhere. Okay, let's trade the running back that makes $16 million. It makes no sense to pay a running back $16 million when we're not good. So they made the trade. DJ Moore, I'm sure they regret having to throw in to get to number one. But they threw him in. He's a Bear. Every now and then you remember that he's a Bear. And somebody throws to him, but he's not a Panther. And as a result, Bryce Young has Adam Thielen to throw to. Love the guy. Adam Thielen probably, with some truth serum, would admit to you that he's not a number one anymore. Probably never was. He's really good, but there's not a lot around Bryce Young. The line isn't good, and they're an offensive mess. The former players that I respect on Twitter last night that were questioning aloud, what is this offense? Like, what are we watching? Yes, it's a short week. Yes, he's a young quarterback. Yes, he's on the road. Those are tough circumstances. But the Bears aren't that good. They're just not. And you expect more, especially 2 weeks ago, Bryce Young and the Panthers at home had their big breakthrough. They beat C.J. Stroud and the Texans. That meant a lot for a lot of reasons. And since then, faceplant. Last week, two pick sixes by Kenny Moore, making him the AFC Defensive Player of the Week against Bryce Young. And then what we saw last night. Play Frank Reich, if we could, please, on the podium afterwards.
We're not scoring points on offense. We got to be better. I believe we will be better. That's how I feel. And listen, this is, when we say, I don't think we have any unrealistic expectations that, it's not like we're saying, we've talked about this before, scoring's down. We just got to figure out, play well enough to win football games. That's really what I'm concerned about, is winning. I'm not worried about how many yards or what the stats are. I'm concerned about playing winning football. And I don't want to get caught up in the stats. I want to get caught up in winning. And, we've had too many close games where if we play a little bit better on offense, we win. And so that's what I'm not going to focus on, how many yards or what the run-pass ratio is. Those are all fair questions and ask away. But, for us right now, it's just making plays to win football games.
I don't know if the average fan understands the emotional toll these games take on the men in that room. And that includes the coaches. That includes everybody who work around the clock, who works around the clock to get ready for game day. And the look on his face says everything. And I recognize that look. It is very similar to the look that Frank Reich had last year when trying week in, week out to explain why they lost again and why Sam Ehlinger is playing, or why they've decided to put Matt Ryan back in, or why they decided, like last night, to call a timeout on 3rd and 10 after already breaking the huddle, then changing the play, then not running to get closer, and then sending Eddie Pinheiro out there on a cold night for a 59-yard field goal try to tie the game. I think Frank's in trouble. I don't wish it upon him, but the look on David Tepper's face when he was shown at Soldier Field last night, shaking his head and then covering his face, it's not a good look. It is not a good look. Coming up next, football made in Germany, live from Frankfurt. Rich is back in Frankfurt at Colts practice, getting ready for the Colts and the Patriots Sunday on NFL Network, and he joins us next.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was just terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Half redneck, half posh, 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes for years.
You guys ruined that?
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I didn't know. People worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
All right, it is a Friday, ahead of week number 10, a Friday after we saw a classic. The Bears hang on to beat the Carolina Panthers 16 to 13. Justin Fields maybe to the rescue next week. Bears hold the number one overall pick right now. We got another game in Germany coming up this week. Hopefully as good as last week's game. All kinds of storylines. The fact that we're there in Germany, that's a big enough storyline for me. As you can see it on NFL Network coming up bright and early, 9:30 a.m. on Sunday and on NFL Plus as well. The Colts and the Patriots, Rich Eisen on the call live.
What's up?
Let's go. Hello, sir, from Colts practice. Did you ride a bike there?
No, I didn't. Just took a vehicle with the rest of the team that's calling the action. I'm sitting in a small room atop. I can't use the word atop. It's a very small facility here. I'll just show you a little bit because the Colts probably don't want you to see them on the practice field, but you could see that's where they're practicing.
Oh.
And it is raining.
Oh,
it
boy.
Is raining here in Germany, and it is raining on top of the Colts practice. They arrived about 5 hours ago. They are jet lagged out of their minds. So is Belichick, who, by the way, mentioned that on his in his press conference earlier today, that he was he didn't know if he was going to make the night, is basically what he said. So it's a makeshift situation for me. I'm holding my phone. You could see my finger in the middle of it.
Yep.
You know, this is what I got for you.
Lots
so I could, this is what I go through for what's more likely.
Lots of rain in the forecast, Mitch.
Yeah, this is great, right. I think. Hold on one sec. Let's reset for the radio.
It's going to be raining
two,
sideways right
one,
now,
yeah,
actually.
And we're back on the Rich Eisen Show. There's Chris Brockman on one side.
Hey.
There's Rich Eisen in the middle live from Colts
what's
practice
up?
Here. I
it's
am
Rich.
At the Rich Eisen Show desk. Furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Rich just showed out the window that it is raining in Frankfurt. And remind me, you described the stadium there as kind of like a canopy, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
raining
so
sideways.
If it's raining, that's the problem. If it does rain sideways on Sunday, you know, because there is a sort of open portion of the stadium of about, you know, 20 feet in width between the canopy and the top row of the stadium. But it won't be an issue. The weather won't be an issue for the game. And it's Colts-Patriots. Meeting with the Colts literally in 40 minutes. Shane Steichen and the rest of the crew is going to be walking in here. And that'll be part of the conversation is, you know, this game, and we meet with the Patriots tomorrow after their walkthrough at the stadium. Belichick showed up smiling today,
yeah,
which is good. And he looked, I think he's just jacked to be international here in Germany. I think he's really, you know, he appreciates being on the road. So, boy, it is pouring right now out there. So the Colts will be, I don't know if they're going to come in earlier or what, but they're going through some punt drills right now in the rain. That's what they got going on out there.
You know, I think it is notable that he was a little bit looser. A couple of days ago, Rich, when he was in Foxborough and he was pressed on the, hey, how great is it to go overseas and this and that, and all the typical international questions, stuff that he normally embraces, I think, he was shutting it all down. But he was a different guy today, and somebody pointed out to Mac Jones when Mac Jones is on the podium, hey, we just really enjoyed our time with Bill. He was loose and laughing, and Mac was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, we get it too. Like, it would almost seem like maybe this trip does them some well. Does them some good, rather.
I don't know. We'll find out. We're going to find out Sunday. Have we found out from the Big Ten? Are they going to move yet? What are they going to do here? Have they done anything? It's like damn near. It's less than 24 hours to kickoff.
They have not said a word.
Something.
Pete Thamel at ESPN reports that Harbaugh's attorney, tells Pete
that he's going to get on the plane.
He's getting on the plane one way or the other. I don't think there's a guarantee that they're going to do anything, but there is a sense that they may. So in other words, Rich, we're in a holding pattern waiting for the hand of Tony Petitti to lay down. Yeah.
Yeah. I just can't believe that. I almost said earlier this week that, you know, if the Big Ten hasn't acted yet, then they're not going to act this week. Cause you can't just suspend somebody just before a game.
Right.
Cause as you know, the NFL always makes suspensions of this sort known well in advance before a game. But I can't believe this thing is still in limbo right now. I'm seeing a lot of the discourse throughout the day on social media. And I'm kind of holding my fire because I don't know what's going to happen yet.
What do you think should happen?
Nothing until this investigation's complete.
You mean an NCAA investigation, which may take 3 years?
Yeah, correct. Well, no, it shouldn't take 3 years.
But you
it
know
should
how
take
they
a
work.
Little bit less than that.
You know how they work.
Well then, what are you going to do? You're gonna suspend him based on coaches and athletic directors complaining and reports here and reports there, or are you going to actually have And by the way, the Big Ten suspending him now. There is no language in the sportsmanship rule that apparently the commissioner is considering suspending Harbaugh under. There is no latitude for him to suspend because he should have known. That's an NCAA rule. That's not a Big Ten rule. And there is no evidence at all that he knew what Connor Stallions was doing. I know none of it looks good. I know the court of public opinion is absolutely all over Michigan. I see the trolling, and Michigan deserves it. I have no idea why this guy, Connor Stallions, was anywhere near the program. But honestly, does anybody know for sure that Jim Harbaugh knew? I said this entire time that if Michigan was caught, in an investigation dead to rights, then it deserves the punishment requisite to the crime. But right now, we don't know. All we know is that this guy got a bunch of tickets, got a bunch of people to shoot videos. Has anybody seen any of these videos?
I mean, I think we know why he was close to the program. He was awesome at stealing signs.
Of course, but so is Ohio State, and so is Rutgers, apparently, having given Purdue the signs.
Well, where are the videos of their people on sidelines next to the defensive coordinator and the head coach?
I don't know. Do you know who those people are on their sidelines, Chris? Are you fully aware of everything? Because
we know who this guy is. So,
because he's been cut because he had a write up in the Wall Street Journal, Chris. Again, listen, you are 100% in the right for everything that I see you tweeting, everything that you say here on this show, everything that you say, because it is a conversation to be had. What you think, what I think.
But we can get to the other
for the
teams,
commissioner of the Big Ten.
Michigan is the one that's been caught here.
But for the Big Ten, well, because have the other schools been investigated how they got Michigan signed? Do we know that it was nobody sitting there in stands shooting your videos?
Do we know that they didn't get them legally? Do you know that?
I don't know that either.
All the Michigan
fans
coming back like, aha, are assuming that it's illegal. Well,
no,
I'm not assuming that it's illegal. You know what I mean?
Can I jump in for a second?
No, Chris, listen. No, hold on. I'm not done yet. I'm sorry, Andrew. No, because you, Chris, and you and I can have these conversations, and you are absolutely right in saying what you're saying. But you're not the commissioner of the Big Ten. You can't act until you know for sure. And you haven't investigated anybody at all. But the one thing that you're going to do right now is suspend the Michigan coach a day before the game? That's what I'm saying.
No, you don't know. That's kind of insane to have waited this long and to do it, you know, hours before the game.
Right.
That seems a little crazy.
You're asking me what should be done. I'm saying nothing at this moment. I mean, the kickoff's in 24 hours, less than that. So, look, Michigan has put themselves in a position to be open for this sort of speculation, for this sort of criticism, ridicule, whatever. But in terms of suspending the coach, you know for sure he did it. This has been fully investigated. This is within his rights to do it. I don't know if we know that for sure. And then, you know, again, and then we also don't know what Connor Stallions has kicked up. Just look at me. I'm a 54-year-old guy who is good at broadcasting. I think we can agree with that. I can't keep this camera straight to keep my face in frame. You're going to hand a phone to some Division III coach and say, shoot the number of times that I hand a phone to somebody to shoot a video. I see the ceiling. I see the floor. I see a wall. What I want them to shoot is nowhere in the video. And they hand the phone back to me. I'm like, oh, great. Do we know every single video was actually used to effect? We don't. No, and we should know before these suspensions take place. I think that's called due process. That is something that clearly isn't happening, right? Yet, that's what I'm saying. We don't know. It sounds bad. It looks bad. This guy clearly was doing something wrong, nefarious, illegal, whatever you want to say, but that Jim Harbaugh gets suspended for it needs to be fully investigated. And the NCAA has the rules and the bylaws to say you should have known, which is what Bruce Feldman said. The Big Ten does not. That's my two cents.
I think.
Am I in frame? I can't even tell.
Wait a minute.
Stacey Dales. Look at Stacey Dales. Hold on a minute.
Rich, your passion's Stacey. Coming through regardless. Hi, Dales.
Hey,
Dales.
She's got something to keep the picture straight.
Oh my goodness. This is tremendous.
This
is what Connor Stallion should have had. Hold on a minute.
Well, I mean, if we watched the Ohio State game, what he had worked.
Mm hmm. No.
Oh!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I got him.
We had it for a second. Oh, man.
So Rich is assuming that the Big Ten doesn't know. Maybe they do know.
What I wanted to jump in and say when anyone, Rich included, says we don't know, you're right. We don't know what the Big Ten has. And I think there is an assumption that the only thing that they have is what we know from the reporting of Bruce Feldman and Nicole Auerbach and Pete Thamel and Ross Dellinger, right?
But it
and
also
Stuart
seems
Mandel.
Like that thing that they posted yesterday, the 10 pages, appears like half of it was lifted from a Michigan fan blog. So what are we doing?
Because, you know, because Chris, do you know who wrote the blog post? Do you know who wrote the blog post? The lawyer.
Rich, you know what's great?
He was ripping up his own thing.
When Tom Brady left, you said, welcome to the rest of us. Welcome to being a Patriots fan 20 years ago.
No, pal.
And all the things that we had to go through, all the crap.
So,
you know, I hope you're enjoying all this.
By the way, I'm not. By the way, I ran into two Patriots fans in the elevator because I was wearing my Michigan gear to go work out because, you know, my body's a temple. And, you know, they were saying to me exactly what you just said, Chris. And just one last thing, and then we can drop it if you want, about the whole thing about the Ohio State thing that you said before, you know, I screwed up the Zoom here. Do you know what C.J. Stroud's numbers were in the two losses to Michigan?
Rich,
you know what they were?
I'm just poking fun at you, man, because you're just so fired up about it. It's just, we can just relax and move on.
Okay. Sounds good. But I see you're just poking fun at me. This is what TJ. What TJ?
I don't even want to say this to you, man. But it's like, is it wrong for me to sit here and say I don't care?
Go ahead.
I mean,
it's all right. I'm sure a lot of people do.
It's just like everyone cheats. Like Dan Wetzel said, everybody does something to get an advantage. It's like. They're making it seem like, and I have no dog in this
no,
fight,
but they're making it seem like you guys
are doing something that
What was
else
the
does?
Tristan Thompson line you gave me?
Oh, yeah. Tristan Thompson said that every time he cheats, the next day he feels terrible.
Like, every team has sign stealers, right? So what are we – I don't understand this.
Because what Michigan did with the or what this guy did is beyond the pale. It's beyond the pale. It's totally unnecessary. It's totally ridiculous. It's totally against the rules. And, so I understand the scorn. I understand that, you know, the mascot, you know, Michigan, the Purdue mascot had, you know, an Ohio State gear on with a camera. I get it. People are open to it. And Michigan's left themselves open to it. But you asked me what should be done. That was my two cents on it. You want to do what's more likely? What do you want to do?
Whatever you want to do.
Let's
you're on a roll, man.
Let's do it.
You're on a roll. Let's whatever you want to do, buddy.
I promise, a Michigan-free version of What's More Likely.
I'm going to turn my mic back off.
It's all good.
Okay.
Okay. Stop.
What's More Likely?
Never say never, but never.
Hey, all right, Rich. What do you have, Chris? Hey, happy Friday. How's it going over there?
It's a positive Friday.
How's my shot? My shot is so much better.
Can we put it back on?
Yeah, it's very much better.
I think it's great.
Look, Stacey Dales fixes everything.
Stacey
like
helps.
Always.
Canadian touch.
Rich, breaking
right
news.
Here.
You're in Germany. Patriots taking on the Colts. Who's more likely to be in their current job with the Patriots in 2024? Gerard Mayo or Bill Belichick?
Oh, I'll go Gerard Mayo. I got that feeling. I got that sense. An interesting way to put it right there. I don't know. Every single time I keep saying on the air that I can't believe that the Patriots will part ways with Belichick, I keep getting texts from a bunch of folks in Massachusetts and the New England area saying, and why do you think that? Why don't you think that Kraft, that they've had enough of the losing? I just still can't believe, I will just believe it till I see it. Yeah. Or won't believe it until I see it, and just say it'll still be Belichick and Mayo, and they'll figure out some way to get an off ramp otherwise. I'll just stick with that.
Thanks to the Bears for winning. The Patriots now
fourth in the draft. What do you think, Chris?
I don't think they win on Sunday, so it just kind of...
No, to the answer to your...
Yeah, answer your question.
To your theory.
Well, I'm not playing the game. Rich is playing the game. Let's move on.
Come on. Okay.
Rich, what's more likely? Bijan Robinson gets 20 touches and scores a touchdown, or we're wondering WTF again on Monday?
Oh, we're WTFing. Oh, yeah. That's what we're doing. I don't understand it. I will never understand it because it's week 10 now. Like, I don't, what rookie wall are we concerned about here?
Right.
I just don't get it. I don't understand it. This should be a Bijan game. Like I said, I just want to see him touch it six times in the first drive, just like Jahmyr Gibbs did the last time the Lions played, and see what happens. What's the big deal? I don't know. I mean, if you really want to go full conspiracy theory, we'll find out somebody in Arthur Smith's family has Algier in their fantasy team. You know, like that. That'll be part of the
investigation. He hasn't had 20 touches since week 2.
And guess what he did in that game?
I don't understand.
170 total yards.
Did you see the 5.5-minute answer, Rich, that Arthur Smith gave this week?
And he said nothing?
5.5 minutes. And he said nothing.
No, I know. I'm sure he feels and he knows what's best. All coaches do. I'm sure he knows what's best for the kid, but I don't get it. He is a difference maker, and normally that's whose hands you put the football in.
Yeah. Couple of big games.
But I'll still go WTF with that one.
Couple of big games for these two teams. Which NFC North team most likely to get a road win, Packers or Lions?
I'll go with the Lions. Yeah.
Out here in SoFi.
I'll go with the Lions. Yeah, man. You know what? You know it's an underrated fan base that's been traveling? The Lions are an underrated fan base that's been traveling. And I have a feeling we're going to see more silent snap counts for Justin Herbert in the home of the Chargers this week. And I think the Lions are coming to town, and they're going to put a bang thing on. That's what I'm sensing right now.
Ooh.
I'm sensing it. I feel the Lions. David Montgomery's coming back. They're fully equipped and fully healthy. I'll go with the Lions right here.
Which team that you saw last week is most likely to win the bye week, Chiefs or Dolphins? What?
Okay. So what that means is everyone else is going to lose.
Yes. Rich speaks my language.
And so I will go with the Chiefs because I think the Bills beat Denver. And even if the Vegas Raiders beat the Jets, it doesn't mean much for the Chiefs anyway. And not saying that if Denver wins, it means much. I'm just saying that the Bills are going to win this weekend against Denver on Monday night. Mm-hmm. I'll be back in the country for that one. And we'll do overreaction Monday in person on Monday. So I'll go with the Chiefs winning their bye week.
Nice.
Certainly, since apparently Travis Kelce is in the Southern Hemisphere to watch his girlfriend perform.
Is that true?
That was the rumor. That was the rumor last week.
On the pod.
Going around.
Wow.
On the pod this week, I listened to it yesterday, I think, the Jason and Travis, whatever they call the thing. New Heights, thank you. He said, what are you doing in the bye week? I think I need some sun. I'm getting pale. Where are you going to go? I don't know. South. Like north or south of the equator? I don't know. Maybe south. And that was it. That was the whole conversation.
She's in Brazil.
Yeah. I think that's
Argentina.
Argentina.
Yeah, I believe
either one.
That's the word. So I think the Chiefs win the bye week, sir.
Got it.
Handily.
More likely to be the higher total, Rich. Browns, Ravens, combined score, or Donovan Mitchell points against the Warriors tomorrow?
Look at you, prop betting. How's Spider Mitchell been doing lately?
He's like 30 plus a game.
Okay. Then I'll take him.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. High scoring game. Donovan Mitchell against the Warriors. I'll take Spider Mitchell. I don't think there's going to be many points scored in Browns and Ravens. Two great defenses. Can't wait to see Deshaun versus Lamar for the first time in the AFC North. I'll go with Donovan Mitchell. That's more likely.
Love it. He's on my fantasy team. Rich, these two teams play each other this week. both 5-4. Who's more likely to make the playoffs, Saints or Vikings?
Oh, I'll go Saints. I don't know. Josh Dobbs has the we'll just see if the carriage stays away from the pumpkin. You know what I mean? And Derek Carr and the Saints, I think, are beginning to play a little bit better, even though they had trouble with the Bears. There's always just seems to be some gear missing that they might be able to find. I would take the Saints, certainly because the Vikings would have to be as a wild card, and the Saints can win their division. Just that alone makes them more likely.
Rich, Kyler Murray is back. What's more likely to be the greater number, Cowboys winning margin or Kyler Murray completions?
Dude, look at you.
Trying to figure out how to work these games into the what's more likely.
Well, it was 40. It was 40 in week one, the margin of difference.
Without
Tommy and that DeVito. Was with Daniel Jones in New York. This is Tommy DeVito in the Metroplex. So I'll go with the Cowboys' margin of victory, just because it seems that I pissed off TJ by going all in about my Michigan Wolverines a few minutes ago. I want to give some flowers to my guy.
No, I wasn't even mad at you. I was just look, Brockman's trying to bait you. We get it. So it had nothing to do with you. It's just the whole thing. It's just like, what are we doing
it's not just
here?
That. Yeah.
No, but this was not a knock on you, Richard. Not this time, at least.
Thank you.
I'll be Mr. Positive here. Can you imagine if Tommy DeVito beats the Cowboys?
It'll be the greatest Monday show in history.
Hey, careful, TJ. He almost, last time I was side by side with Andrew, he almost spoke that into existence, so you be careful.
Don't you speak that evil, Ricky Bobby.
Careful.
I'm just supporting the Syracuse guy and Tommy DeVito.
Right,
that's
exactly.
That's all I'm doing.
All right, Rich, two more quick. Huge game in Jacksonville and Duval this weekend. More likely the running back to score multiple times in the win. CMC or Travis
ETN or CMC.
Yeah. Good one.
Oh my God. I'm gonna go ETN. He's been awesome.
Yeah, he has.
I'm gonna go ETN. Even though I mean CMC, that's a tough one. Can I do a Nick Bakay Bush? They both do it? How about that?
Do they tie? Are you calling a tie?
Push. Yeah. I say they both do it. How about that? I'll go next level. That's more likely they both do
it. Well done. Last one. So, could be a shootout in Tampa. Quarterback more likely to throw for 300. Will Levis or Baker Mayfield?
Ooh.
I'll go Baker, man. I'll go Baker. That's my son. That's my quarterback. I'm going to go with him. That's him. He played a Big 12 game in Houston last week.
Baker's been sneaky good this year. Yep. 12-4 touchdowns. He's been good.
I'm rooting for him, as you know. So
I'm rooting for Will
good
Levis.
What's more likely?
I like Will Levis.
Me too. I know. Me too.
All right, bud.
That was great.
Stay dry.
That was great.
Stay dry.
Thank you. Greatly appreciate it. Everyone should watch the game on Sunday and just also know that the last two November, C.J. Stroud completed 67% of his passes, throwing for 740 yards against Michigan. So much for that.
0-2.
But at any rate, hey, I'm out. Tapping out.
Rich, good luck tomorrow.
Awesome, baby. Thank you. See you later, guys.
Hey, Rich.
Awesome, baby.
All right. We're a little late because we got a little heated. When we come back, I'll tell you what I think about Michigan.
What is going on with you, Jim Brockmeyer and Brett Musburger?
This is my Musburger face. No, you can't put that to bed, Rich Eisen. You know why you can't put it to bed?
Okay.
Because he's a punk, that's why. Brett Musburger is a P-U-N-K punk. The man is a thief. Okay, Brett Musburger is a thief.
How so?
Stole my line.
What line was that?
This is for all the Tostitos. Remember that? This is for all the Tostitos. Remember when he said that? Everybody in the business. No, it's not funny. Everybody in the business knows that was my line. But he went ahead and used. That's what I always yell when I climax inside of a woman. or when I'm just when I climax all by myself. And ever since then, now I have to yell out, "Ruffles have ridges," and it's not. It's not the same thing.
Here is Brett Musburger. How are you, Brent?
Hey, Rich, I'm great. Listen, I'm so proud of you guys.
for trying to help resurrect little Jimmy Brickmeyer's career. We all know the problems. We all know the problems that he had in the past.
He says that you stole all the Tostitos from him, Brent, from back
no,
in the day?
No, I got paid. I got paid by a company to drop the name. I got free Tostitos for a week. What are you talking about?
Okay.
You know, Rich, it's really interesting because as we started VSiN here in Las Vegas, and Brickmeyer was having trouble getting a job, so he called our executives and our general manager. He interviewed Brickmeyer and asked him about a three-team parlay, and our boy Jimmy, he thought that was two hookers with him in a Morristown hotel room. You know, Jesus, we would have loved to help him out, but I wish him the best. He's so delusional. And listen, let him go at it. Okay. For all the Tostitos, baby.
Hey, everybody. How we doing? That Brockmire stuff makes me laugh.
For all the Tostitos, baby.
Yeah, buddy. The Browns have ruled out both starting tackles. Is that good against the Ravens?
Yikes.
Yeah, but you knew that already. Anyway, I digress. You can stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open WWO Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate stations, digital platforms. Stream Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and Rich all season long for free. And get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone restrictions do apply. Final thought on Michigan until we hear something. I think Rich does have a point. It's not fair to suspend a coach 24 hours before the game as they're about to get on the plane, which is roughly now at 1 p.m. Eastern time to go from Ann Arbor to Happy Valley. I don't think it is fair. Yeah, the one room airport.
I mean, it is kind of.
Yeah, I don't think. Look, what's one more game? I think it's safe to say that Michigan, everyone's watching them. They're not going to be cheating in this one. So if there ever was cheating, allegedly. So if you've made up your mind, don't tell them now. You could tell them on Monday. I think Rich has a point there. As for this idea, and I, you know, didn't want to argue or get into a screaming match, let you and Brockman or Rich and Brockman do that. This idea that they have nothing, let there be an investigation. We don't know what they have. We have zero idea what they have. We know what Bruce Feldman and Nicole Auerbach and Stuart Mandel and Pete Thamel and Ross Dellinger, we know they've reported. But why do we assume that is the only information that the Big Ten has? The Big Ten may have receipts. We don't know. The Michigan standard defense, and this is not a me clapping back, and Rich Desmond Howard was all over this morning on Get Up, pounding the table angrily from Athens. They don't have anything. We don't know what we don't know what they have, kids. The prosecution has not presented its case in court. Maybe they've got a lot. Maybe they've got nothing. We don't know. I do know this. I have about 2 minutes, and Jeff in Detroit has been holding patiently on the Rich Eisen Show. Hi, Jeff.
What's going on? Listen, I'm going to tell you like this. I'm real particular about this show. I love this show, and you have been doing an excellent job, my brother.
Thank you, Jeff.
It's blending so well, and the guys are just, you know, it's almost like just listening in to a conversation, you know. You guys were talking about U of M, and I guess my question is, if it was Rutgers, what would we be talking about? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, TJ, what is there? It's really nothing to it. I think because it's U of M, because it's the way that that Coach Harbaugh is, you know, he rubs people the wrong way, and we're winning. But, you know, and they try to say, well, it's because of the sign stealing. Dude has been winning everywhere he's been going. Love the way that you guys did, Rich. Oh, you had him turning red and scratching his head. Fire on what's more likely. Chris, you did your thing, brother.
Thanks,
I have
Jeff.
A question, though, for you, Andy.
Yes, sir. Jeff, I got exactly 45 seconds. Go.
Okay, real quick. What happens with the interim coach? What does he have to do to keep the gig? Because you got a couple of coaches on books already for money. What do you do with that guy?
Hold on. Which interim coach?
He has the locker room.
The Raiders?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you for the call, Jeff. I think a lot depends on what Antonio Pierce does to win. Like, can he win? What do they do? How do they play? One game's great. Awesome. Good for you. Seriously. Everyone who bleeds silver and black, although that would be uncomfortable, you deserve that one. You got to keep doing it. But then again, Rich Bisaccia kept doing it, took him to the playoffs, didn't keep the job.
Right.
Should have likely kept the job.
At least for 1 year.
So I don't know. I don't know. I do know this. Tom Pelissero's coming up next on the Rich Eisen Show. Man, Rich was fired up, wasn't he? I didn't want to jump in, let you guys just, you know, tear each other apart there.
I know how to tweak.
You went at it. And I knew as soon as I rolled the grenade out there, what do you think they should do? That we'd get a response. Look, the Big Ten's in a really tough position because they probably do have a lot of evidence. And they probably do. And the other schools are furious. Furious. There is, if you believe the reporting of Pete Thamel and Bruce Feldman, and they're the best, I don't want to say a mob mentality, but the rest of the conference is seemingly pushing the leadership of the conference. You've got to do something. But is it Michigan your best chance to win the whole thing and get into the playoff? Or Ohio State, one of the two, get into the playoff? Maybe they both get in. And bring all this cash to all these coaches and ADs that are really angry? I don't know. Do you kill the golden goose? Mm-hmm. What do you do? What do you do?
Worst case scenario on the field for the Big Ten, Penn State beats Michigan this week. Michigan beats Ohio State. They all have one loss. Then what do you do?
Here's what I think. I think the Big Ten really hopes Ohio State beats Michigan.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
We have Michael Azerrad, who was Nirvana's very first biographer. I'm not sure how many people realize how many of the best songs on In Utero were written way beforehand.
To be fair to Kurt, he was also a new father. There was a lot of stuff distracting him. It wasn't just drugs, although that was certainly a major factor.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.